Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Time to talk some NFL headlines in just a moment.
And John is always so great at this, at helping us out with charities. John, this is one of our best days of the year where we're giving to a lot of different kids that would otherwise not have a Christmas, and they get a Christmas because people bring toys by here today at Nissan Stadium. Give us the sales pitch for why people should stop by, the John McClain sales pitch, and help us out by donating some toys today.
Well, first of all, I tell you guys this every year. It's an incredible event that you do. And Nashville is as giving a city like Houston as I've ever seen. The people really step up for people who need it. And that says a lot about the population. And it's such an easy thing to get toys and drive over to Nissan Stadium and do that. So I'm hoping people would do it. You guys are on all day. You give them a chance to do it at lunch. You give them a chance to do it after work. And I hope they do it, because it means so much to so many children who don't have an opportunity to have a Merry Christmas. And you can help them have a very Merry Christmas.
And again, we are here until 7 o'clock for Toy Field, presented by Planet Fitness here at Nissan Stadium. Gate 1. You don't even have to get out of your car. We'll come out and grab the toys from your car if you just pull up here on the curb. Or if you'd like to come in, take advantage of some chances to win some tickets, like tickets to see Eric Church on Saturday, May 25th, or the Music City Bowl here at Nissan Stadium, or the Titans and Colts game coming up on December 30th. You can register here on site at Nissan Stadium through 7 o'clock. Speaking of bowl games, John, there's a big one coming to Houston. Vanderbilt and Baylor, where both teams will be motivated for a winning season and wanting to win a bowl game. I think that could be a real good game there at NRG Stadium.
Let me just start by saying, sick 'em Bears, but I'm really happy for Vanderbilt as Baylor. Both teams have a chance, as you mentioned, Jonathan, to have a winning record. Matt Rhule and Derek Mason have done terrific coaching jobs, and I would encourage any Vanderbilt fans, come to this game. It's at NRG Stadium. The weather will be great. It always is in December. Like right now, it's 65, bright sunshine. We got a great city. You guys know, you've been here. A lot of great restaurants. You can play golf. But most importantly, support the team. It would mean a lot to Baylor after the scandal that rocked the program. The NCAA let all their recruiting class go to other schools. Only one stayed. I see these players all over the area of other schools, SEC, Big 12, who decommitted to Baylor because they were allowed to. And for Matt Rhule to go from one win to six and the possibility of seven, and also being down here for a week in the media for recruiting, the same with Derek Mason. This is a recruiting hotbed for so many SEC and Big 12 programs. This just couldn't be a better spot for Vanderbilt and Baylor.
I've seen Matt Rhule's name on some lists of young up-and-comers, even for NFL jobs as the next generation young guys, which is what everybody's looking for. What kind of future you see for him?
Well, I like that. When he coached 1 year with the Giants with Tom Coughlin, and one of his good friends from that team, Sean Ryan, is the Texans quarterback coach. And when Baylor hired Rhule, Sean Ryan pulled me off the side and said, "You're going to love this guy." I said, "He doesn't know anything about Texas. He's not going to be able to recruit here." He said, "Once he gets here, you'll think he's from Texas in about 15 minutes, the way he can handle himself." And he was right. And then after the season, and he was listed when I saw on ESPN when Ben McAdoo was about to be fired by the Giants. They had a list of candidates, and they had Matt Rhule on there. And I'm like, wow. And in the offseason, he interviewed with Chris Ballard at the Colts, and Baylor fans got mad and went nuts. And I said, I think this is great because it's positive publicity for Baylor, that Baylor has a coach that somebody would want. and considering the sexual assault scandals and the firings and all the negativity that came from that, anything involving positivity in Baylor is good. What I've thought, Paul, if indeed he turns the program around, you know, going to 6 or 7 wins and then going up around 10, like Art Briles did, is difficult. But I think because of that, he's from the Northeast, went to Penn State, and if somebody in big school hired him or an NFL team hired him, I'd wish him well, because he has done something that a lot of people thought was the impossible, turn around the Baylor program.
John McClain with us. You can join him. He's with us for the next 30 minutes, and we're going to get into a ton of NFL headlines. 615-737-1045, our number. John, Mike McCarthy fired as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. It's the first time that the organization has made a coaching move mid-season, and they do it to a coach that took them and won a Super Bowl. What did you make of the move after the loss to Arizona, and why was the timing right now?
First time they lost at home to the Cardinals since before Lambeau Field was built. And I thought he should have gone. They're obviously going down the tubes. And he was going to be fired after the season. And Mark Murphy's the one's going to make that hire, along with input from Brian Gutekunst, the GM who's been there for years under Ted Thompson. It always bothers me. I'm reading these anonymous quotes now out of Green Bay in the national media, blaming everything on Ted Thompson. The team had got to tell. He hadn't signed free agents. And I know I'm partial to Ted, who played for the Oilers and is now working for them, still getting a salary, but he moved back to Texas. And they asked me on the air here today, was Cleveland or Green Bay a better job? And I said Cleveland, because Mayfield just blew me away on Sunday. Terrible in the first half, great in the second. And they've got all this young tackle on the Browns. They've got good personnel department. If the Haslams will leave them alone and let the experts hire the next coach, Cleveland is a great job. For Green Bay, Rodgers is going to be 36. And even though Green Bay is a great football town and the cathedral in the NFL, I think the Browns are better. And I also think Mike McCarthy will get a job. They're already talking about him coming to New York and helping in the development of Sam Darnold.
And Paul, you were mentioning there's no real young, up-and-coming coaching names that we hear about in the league. So guys like John Harbaugh and Mike McCarthy, they'll resurface quickly.
Well, there have been a lot of, you know, the next Sean McVay is the tap is dry, I think. I mean, until you dip into college. Pro, it's harder and harder to find the coordinator who's the next hot young thing. So you got to go to college. Or if there's a proven NFL thing, McCarthy, Harbaugh, odds of those guys resurfacing, I think it is pretty good.
Speaking of the next hot young thing, John, were you surprised that Cliff Kingsbury stayed in college with all the talk about him moving to the NFL?
I think that there's no guarantee he would have gotten an NFL job. I think you go to USC, Todd Helton gets blown out next year. You're either part of the purge or you're the next coach. And he'd have a whole lot more talent out there at USC with a place to recruit than he ever did at Texas Tech when he had to take a lot of the leftovers.
John, we will start with Taylor up on line one. Taylor, say hello to John McClain.
Hey, John, how you doing? Always a good time when I can call and talk to you, man.
Thank you,
Redskin fan. Hey, Redskin fan, I just left from my psychiatrist's office. He told me it would be good if I talked to someone who knew what they were doing. So, here we go. Jay Gruden, how long does he stay? Hopefully not past this year. Why didn't we draft a quarterback in the last couple of drafts? Alex Smith is never going to be the answer to our problems. And you got anybody that can kidnap Dan Snyder? I'll hang up and listen. Take care, guys. Happy holidays.
Now, someone who's married to a Washington fan, I feel for you. I know what you're going through. Now, Jay Gruden didn't get two quarterbacks hurt, and I disagree. They were in first place when Alex Smith was the quarterback. They weren't going to win a Super Bowl, but they certainly were capable of winning the NFC East, which is not very good. And when you see Mark Sanchez now as the quarterback who was signed when Smith went down, you know the season's over. touchdown with Adrian Peterson going 9 yards was remarkable. They've got a good defense. They've got some good receivers. You know, Darius Geis, the second-round pick, got hurt. You know, they still think highly of him. He'll be back 100%. Alex Smith is supposed to be back, but they need another quarterback. They need a guy who's young that they can develop. And if they don't see that, they all should be fired.
Let's go next to Brian with Tim and Dustin on deck. Hey, Brian.
Hey, boys. What's happening?
What's up?
Hey, John, you know, if you had told me at this time, at the beginning of the season, that I would be worried about my quarterback, if Trubisky was going to come back at a relative short time, I would have probably told you to slap me, because I would have thought somebody was playing a joke on me. But to this point, man, the Bears have really been a surprising team. I wasn't too concerned when he missed the Detroit game. I didn't really think too much of the severity of the injury. Then when they said he was going to be out for the New York game, didn't really raise any more flags. I figured it would be a walkover game for them to lose in overtime after what was if you've seen the last 2 minutes of that game, man, you would have really just pulled your hair out. But John, is it time to worry? I don't know how much of a chance I would have gave the Bears against the Rams with a healthy Trubisky playing, but they're saying he may be out again this Sunday. So do you think it's time to panic with the Vikings being 2 games back? That's all I got, man. Y'all take care.
I wouldn't think it's time to panic until the Vikings, who've been a big disappointment, have a chance to tie the Bears. I would be worried about Trubisky being out. Hopefully he'll be back soon. Chase Daniel is a good backup quarterback. You know, it was inexcusable to fall behind the way they did against the Giants, but the Giants have now won 3 of 4. Bears have gone from worst to first. If they end up second, I know it'll be disappointing, but think how fired up you'll be for next season. But if they can cling to the lead till Trubisky comes back, I'm not saying they're going to win a playoff game, but I think they're capable because of their defense. I think they need to run the ball more. It seems like Matt Nagy just has something against the run. And when you play outdoors in January and December, you got to run the ball.
John, how about the collection of trick plays in that Giants-Bears game and the throw from Odell Beckham Jr. on that one play?
He now has 2 long touchdown passes, and it's funny because that was a tremendous play, but all the attention afterward was when he wouldn't dive for the onside kick. You know, he just stood there like it was a hot potato. And that pass, and he wasn't even set. You know, he threw it off balance, and I thought it was fun to watch.
615-737-1045. If you want to jump in, you got an NFL question for John McClain, give us a call now. 737-1045.
Tim is next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, John. Hey, John, guys. Hope you all doing well. Thanks for taking the call. A couple of questions on the Chiefs' offense and defense. Obviously took a big hit this week with Kareem Hunt. Wanted to see what your thoughts are on how the offense will be affected with Spencer Ware in the locker room, you know, collectively moving forward. And then really big waiting on Eric Berry coming back for the defense. How long do you expect him to take to kind of get full game speed, ready, hoping we make a deep run in the playoffs? Appreciate it, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
I think Eric Berry would take at least 2 games to come back because he's missed so much time. And I believe this, the running game produced about 180 yards without Kareem Hunt. And, of course, that's a tremendous blow. But we've seen before when a guy's gone, it kind of galvanizes players. They rally around him. And I think Andy Reid's a good enough coach. Mahomes is a great quarterback. They won't be as can't say as prolific. They just scored 40. They won't be as balanced. You don't have a back you're worried about hitting a home run every time, but they still got a great offense. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm worried about the playoffs just because of Andy Reid, the way he's gotten beat in the playoffs so much, most recently by the Titans at Arrowhead last season. But I think Mahomes is going to end up, he's got a good chance to set the all-time record in his second season, which is just mind-boggling.
Dustin is our next caller. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Steelers-Chargers game, man. And
honestly, I mean, I've seen some pretty bad officiating games, and I'm not really trying to cause a complaint. I just wanted to know if I'm crazy or if I'm the only one that's seen the two huge penalties on the two touchdowns that basically brought them back into the game. I honestly don't feel like they would have been able to come back on the Steelers completely. It ended in a field goal when they had a very obvious false start on the one touchdown. I think it was about a 30-yard pass to, I can't remember. And then they also had a block in the back, which I don't know if the block in the back was completely a block in the back, but it looked, it appeared to be a block in the back, and it wasn't called neither. I just wanted to know if y'all thought that there would be any type of discipline action toward that happening, or does New York have a stand in any of it? Are they able to kind of like watch the replay as they always review touchdowns? Do they like kind of watch the replay and then they couldn't have kind of told us there was a false start? Because
Nope, they can't. They should. I think that's something should be considered in off season, that when you see something as blatant as that false start, I do not understand how guys could miss that. They had almost had to have blindfolds on when we all saw it. And then we saw a film of LA Chargers and Cleveland. Chargers benefited from it, and Phillip Rivers threw a touchdown pass. They're just blatant. What they need is a guy in New York, when they see something blatant like that that's not called, they push a button, tell them immediately, false start, left tackle. They throw the flag. It doesn't delay the game. And and you would right so many wrongs. I agree with Bill Belichick. Everything should be reviewable. It wouldn't make the game longer because you have your same challenges, the same system in place. But if a coach wanted to challenge anything at the risk of losing a timeout, he could do it with the same allotments he has right now.
John, we go next to Eric up on line one. Hey, Eric.
Hey, John. Appreciate you taking the call. I'm a lifelong Saints fan, and we've been having a great season, but last week just scared me. I don't know if it's our line or what it is. They seem to be able to get to Breeze pretty easily. What do you think the rest of our season looks like? I'll hang up and listen.
I think the Saints are going to get a first-round bye. The home field advantage will belong to the Rams. The Rams have an easier schedule than the Saints, although those two games that New Orleans has this month against Carolina are not looking nearly as tough as they were a month ago before Carolina started its four-game losing streak. At that point, they were one game behind. I think because the Saints beat the Rams, you know, they need them to lose a game to have that home field advantage. I think it'd be easier for the Saints to go to L.A. to win than it would be for the Rams to come to Superdome, come inside where it's so loud. It's not all that loud in L.A., even if they got 90,000 fans in the stands.
615-737-1045. If you want to jump in and talk with John McClain, 737-1045.
John, whenever you saw the Jacksonville Jaguars shut out the Indianapolis Colts, it was the first time that Luck has been shut out in his career. What'd you think about the way the Jags defense played in that one? Because this has been a team that we've expected to throw in the towel.
I was shocked, and I couldn't believe it. Not that Jacksonville didn't play good defense. Statistically, the Jaguars have played good defense. They haven't been dominant. They haven't had an intimidating pass rush. But Andrew Luck, besides having a five-game winning streak and averaging 35 points in those five games and having at least three touchdown passes in eight consecutive games, for them to be shut out, it was unbelievable. Frank Reich went for it three times on fourth down, including taking a field goal off the board, and all of them backfired, and they had some terrible play calls. Because the Texans play the Colts this week, I went over everything I could get that was written about that game, and it's not just that they went for it on fourth down, but calling it a play to the tight end to run the ball, calling a play where, a shovel pass at the 2-yard line. Instead of just running, letting Luck do it, and then Luck on the last play of the game was sacked on a blitz, but I just couldn't believe it. That is, to me, I can't remember looking back over the season. I thought that was a bigger shocker than Arizona winning in Green Bay, even though I picked the Packers to blow them out.
And now, as you look at the AFC playoff picture and the wild card race, what do you think happens with all of it? Baltimore right now in the six, and then you have the Colts.
They're a half game behind Pittsburgh for the AFC North lead. They're a game in front for the wild card. They play a difficult schedule. I think that that Tennessee, Indianapolis, I don't buy into Miami. And Denver's won three in a row, playing great defense. And Phillip Lindsay, their undrafted rookie running back, has been phenomenal. I think that last spot will come down between the Titans, Colts, Ravens, and Broncos. And I have no idea who's going to win, but I do know Baltimore has a tough schedule.
Bob is next up for John McClain today. Hey, Bob.
Hi, guys. Hi, Mr. McClain. I have a question.
Hello, Bob.
You, sir.
Sure.
I have a question. Okay. How well or did you know Randy Galloway, another fellow writer?
Well, he's still alive, so I know him real well.
Oh, I thought he passed away.
Well, No, Randy Galloway is still alive and going strong up in Fort Worth and Dallas area.
Okay, I just thought you might have some stories about him because he's such a character.
Well, I don't know how many people up there are going to hear the stories, but you're right, one of the all-time great writers, first writer I knew who did a talk show, did it for years, and he told me one time, he said, I write every negative thing I can about Jerry Jones, and every time I see him, he greets me like I'm his long-lost brother. You can't help but like the SOB.
Let's go next to Ryan.
John thought he was getting some bad news brought to him over the air. Like, wait a minute.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, John, how's it going?
Great, Ryan. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Hey, I got a question about the Packers. Obviously, McCarthy is a certain amount to blame for the failures, but, you know, the stuff I've been seeing out of Aaron Rodgers this year is not what I'm used to seeing. I just want to know your take on, you know, how much he's responsible for kind of some failures this year, and what do you see in the future out of him? I don't, you know, any positivity coming out of Green Bay in the future.
Their relationship had deteriorated to the point where one of them had to go, and you know it's not going to be the highest paid quarterback in history. It's a good job because it's the Packers, because you got Rodgers in place. People are trying to blame Ted Thompson, the former GM, because he didn't sign a lot of free agents. They signed two big ones this year. One's on IR and the other tight end, Jimmy Graham's done well. And I just, I don't know enough about Brian Gutekunst, the GM who worked under Ted for a long time. Don't know how much Mark Murphy, the head coach and the GM, answered to him, the team president. So they changed their power structure from the coach answering to Ted Thompson, the GM. A lot of people are going to want that job. I assume it's going to be an offensive coach who specializes in coaching quarterbacks.
John, Urban Meyer at his retirement press conference was asked, are you going to coach again? Urban Meyer said, well, that's a complicated question. I believe I will not coach again. I'm fairly certain. Why do you call it a retirement press conference when you're 54 years old and it's clear that you're not done coaching? Just call it what it is, a resignation.
Well, first of all, you're right, Chad. I believe that he'll go back to ESPN where he was between Florida and Ohio State. He's got some close connections to some people there, and I think he'll see him on the network next season, and then I believe he'll come back at 55.
615-737-1045. I have no doubt he's coming back somewhere.
Could it be the NFL?
I don't think so. I've never heard of anybody go, boy, I think Urban Meyer would be a really good NFL coach. I think his reputation as Urban Liar, how he handled the whole Zach Smith controversy. I think he's kind of toxic, but there'll be a football program out there that sees what he's done at three other programs, and he's one of the all-time great college coaches. I think he'll have more than one offer.
John, he is retiring. I'm putting that in air quotes right now. He's retiring as the third leading percentage wins percentage guy in the history of major college football behind Newt Rockne and Frank Leahy. And that's what's amazing about it, though, because when Hutton asked that question about the NFL, he's never gotten a lot of talk with the NFL. He's just seen as a great college coach. And I feel like that's rare for most great college coaches out there. Typically, they get a lot of whispers from the NFL. You don't hear that as much from Urban Meyer, though.
Every time he's been a head coach in college, he's moved up a level.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking right now, he's not going to go somewhere and rebuild unless it's a big program. What about a year from now? Helton gets blown out, and USC reaches out to Urban Meyer to come west.
They may end up promoting Cliff Kingsbury a year from now also, depending how their offense looks.
But if you got a choice between Cliff Kingsbury and Urban Meyer, and Meyer is interested in coming out there where, like Ohio State, you can open the doors without doing any recruiting, and the recruits are just going to come running through, I think they would be more interested in Meyer.
I totally agree with you, John. I would hire Urban Meyer for sure over a guy who didn't do so well at Texas Tech. Here's the one to me that's interesting, just where he's from, and he coached at this place before, is if Notre Dame ever comes open. That's the one to me that would make a ton of sense for Urban Meyer.
It would, but I also think he'll be back before that job opens. You know, Kelly's got a good thing going there. So I think he'd have to be out of football for 3 years in TV, and I don't see that happening at his age.
John, thank you as always. We always enjoy the visit. We will catch up with you on Friday after Thursday night football, Titans and Jags. Who do you have in that one?
I'm going to take the Titans, and also I will be at Bob McNair's service at NRG Stadium. That's at 2, so no, I'll be available at 1 o'clock, but I'll be doing it from there. They have a huge service open to the public and a lot of owners and commissioners coming down, so I'll be there, but I'll be doing it from my media office, and I hope the Vanderbilt fans will come down to Houston to attend the Texas Bowl, which should be very competitive and very exciting and sick 'em.